God is good. God is good. God is good. Lord, Lord, Lord. There was a sweet, sweet presence when we came to give honor to God in His sacrament in our communion. You know, it is so powerful when you spend time with God and you make fellowship with Him, that He begins to show you and reveal more of Himself to you. It is beautiful. Let us not forget it. Let's not go through the motions just because it's something that the church does on the first Sunday of the month. If you happen to get into that time of worship with God and do this at home, make it very special. I've seen some times when my wife would get up very early and she would go and she'd have her communion before the altar at the house. And I could see how the relationship in her with God would increase. I encourage you to seek after Him in a relationship as opposed to just knowing the Word. I say this because there's many that have an understanding of the Word but don't have an understanding of the relationship. Relationship is more important than understanding the Word. Don't get this wrong. Word is very important. But unless you come to the understanding that relationship is foremost first, relationship, the Word becomes more illuminated to you and becomes revelatory to you because you're in relationship with the Word, Him. Amen? Spend time with Him. Spend time with Him. The Holy Spirit will beckon you to come into His presence, and you will spend more time with God, and you'll begin to fellowship with God in a way like never before. So I encourage you, spend time with God. Amen. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday. For some, it's a bittersweet day. Where some of the other teams that didn't quite make it, some of the diehard Dallas fans didn't. They didn't make it. Kansas City Chiefs didn't make it. Yeah. What was the Buffalo what? Bills? Buffalo Bills. New York Giants. They didn't have a team. They didn't have a team. How many teams are there? Do y'all know? 32 teams. There's 32 NFL professional teams wanting to be playing today, and only two are playing. Correct? So the other 30 teams worked hard all season long. Did they not? They played all the same games, the same amount of time, but they're not in the place, what we would call the Super Bowl, the big game. Right? They worked so hard, they sacrificed so much, they gave up so much, but they're not in the show. They're not in the big game. They're not there to get the Vince Lombardi trophy at the end of the Super Bowl. They're not there to watch the halftime shows that we all want to watch or all the commercials. They're actually sitting at home wishing they were there. Doesn't it feel like sometimes you work so hard for things, but yet you don't see the outcome that you've desired? You've sacrificed so much, but you didn't see the end results that you desired even after the sacrifice. And sometimes it feels like that game that the enemy's been playing with your faith, like you're so far behind. You just wish that the game would be over and say, I want to win. Because in the end, you know you're going to win. But to the process of the game, you feel like I'm just too far back to even catch up. Now, I love football. I used to be a fanatic about football. I used to watch it all the time. When I was dating my wife,
she would come over on Sundays and I'd have the TV on. She goes, "Can we change it?" I said, "Oh, we don't touch the remote on Sundays. You leave it alone. It stays right there." She, "Well, can we just..." I said, "No, because my Denver Broncos are going to be playing next, and we're going to watch that." "Well, they're not playing right now." "No, but I'm watching Dallas Cowboys right now. Then I'm going to watch the Denver Broncos. Then after that, it's going to be the late game. I'm watching the late game." So I would sit there all day long watching it. For some of you guys, like, yeah. Man, that's nice. Then I put a ring on the finger. Woo-wee. I'm lucky to see a game every other year. Things change. But one thing I can tell you this is that I know that when we spend time with family and we get together, we were talking about it yesterday. We were like, what are we going to do for Super Bowl? Are we going to grill out? Are we going to be there at the house? What are we going to do? Are we going to go to mom and dad's? What are we going to do? Are we going to go over here? What are we going to eat? 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 So we begin to ask, what are we going to do? What are we doing? And then I realized something. I said, you know what, God? This Super Bowl has the propensity to do something different. This is the 50th. This is the 50th Super Bowl. And now they've removed the Roman numerals. And they just put the 50 this time. Come on, man. Come on. Come on. Don't make me work with this. You got to see this. You have got to see. Here we are now at a Super Bowl where some changes have been made. 50. Well, you would look at 50 as being half. Right? Half. If I give you 50 cents, you have half of a dollar. And most of the time, everybody gets all excited about who's going to be in the halftime show. So they started adding performers. I said, Lord, I'm seeing something unfold here. There's going to be some changes in the game. No, not the NFL game. There's going to be some changes in the game. What it used to be prior is no longer going to be again. Things are about to change. Formats are about to change. And you're going to see results change. You're going to see some things that you have sacrificed, things that you have given up, things that you have worked hard for, that you've been on the grind, you have been clawing to get to. You're going to see some change. And are you going to see the change that is favorable to you, or are you going to see the change that is favorable to God? Well, when I look at things, God is always interested in my good anyhow, because it's His good for me to be good. So I'm working in tandem with the Spirit of God to get what is rightfully mine. Amen? Amen. So the title of this message that I have for you today on Super Bowl Sunday, the comeback is in your future. The comeback is in your future. I would have had us all just wear our jerseys. Put some paint underneath our eyes. Maybe come in with those what do you call it, the pads and the cleats, and just everybody come dressed for the occasion. I said, no, I don't want to do that, because some of y'all may take it literally, and then, you know, Sister So-and-so that cut you off in the middle of the parking lot and took your parking space, they may have been a throwdown out there because you got, you know, all the protective gear. So I said, no, we better not. But I think that what is taking place now for the Super Bowl is there's a lot of preparations. There's some people that are having Super Bowl parties. How many of you having Super Bowl parties? Super Bowl, hello? Nobody? Wow. Somebody like, no, Pastor, I ain't raising my hand because this is a trick question. I'm just wondering whose house am I going to? But there's preparations even for those that are hosting the Super Bowl, and they're going to have their food ready. They're going to get all their different snacks like hot wings and and brisket and, you know, pulled pork and maybe some ribs. Or with kielbasa sausage. Oh, man, the bratwurst. And then you sear that real good, nice and crispy on the outside, but nice and tender on the inside. So when you bite into it and it snaps, oh, God. Are you hearing me? And then there's sometimes they make that 7-layer dip. You know, there's preparations to everything. So I said, God, I know that you're speaking something to me concerning the Super Bowl. He says, son, every time you feel like you're getting closer and closer to the touchdown, closer and closer to that very goal line, there's always an opponent trying to pull you back. There's always an opponent trying to stop you from advancing. See, there's 11 players on each team. There's always a shift, a paradigm shift that is necessary. Either you're going to make it or you're not. You will have resistance, but it's up to you to work hard to get past the resistance. Amen? All right. Now, in order for us to come back, we have to have a game plan. Do we not? We have to have a game plan. We just can't come back and just say, I'm going to win. There's a game plan. For some of us, it takes motivation to do it. For others, it comes from within. Some will draw from an experience of life's journey. And for most, after exhausting every other opportunity, the last resort, which should really be the first resort, is always rely on the grace of Jesus Christ. But haven't you found it that every time that we try to do things, we try to do everything on our own first? And, you know, we know this. We have the word. We always try to do things on our own, with our own strength, our own intellect, and our own will. But then at the very end, when it's not working, then we rely on Jesus. Now, we should know this. God, you got this, right, God? But what usually happens is it's like the coach that's on the sideline is just saying, I need you to be ready at all times. Don't be getting ready. You need to stay ready. Because you don't know when your number's about to be called for you to get in the game. You don't know when I'm about to call you and maybe make a change in the way we've been playing the game. You have got to be ready. You can't get ready and expect to win the game. We have to be motivated. To come back from a loss or a setback, we have to push. See, coaches go into the halftime after they've already played the two quarters. They go into the locker room and they begin to give motivational speeches. They try to motivate the players. Say, come on, you have been working hard. We've been practicing this play over and over and over. Right? We used to have coaches that would spit in our faces when they were talking to us, like, ooh. Stop. And then we used to have coaches that would get so mad, they'd have that vein that comes down like this. And it would just throb right there, and you're just staring at it like, dang, you're going to have a heart attack. It's just the game. Then they get so mad, their whole face get real red, and then they start throwing clipboards all over the place. They start slamming things. It's like, you ain't motivating me. You just throwing a tantrum. We're out there playing the game, not you. You know, of course, I'd get in trouble. But I said, Perez, what's wrong with you? Why you got attitude? Well, you're the one yelling. You think you can do better? No, I ain't saying I can do better. I'm just asking if you would just speak to us. So my coach said, okay. How about I leave and you encourage yourself? David did it. So when he walked out, teammates came together. And I said, yeah, I don't know about you, but I don't like to be yelled at. Be made fun of by our own coach. So either we do this together or we don't. Either we work together to win this game or we're going to lose. What do y'all want to do? So everybody, of course, all these big linemen say, well, why you got to lead it? I said, then you lead it. I'm just a quarterback. You lead it. What do you want to do? Well, I'm tired of getting beat. I said, well, do something about it. These guys are big, Katrina. So this one, he was a sinner, looked at me. He says, son, I thought you didn't want to yell like the coach. I said, are you telling me I'm acting like the coach? He goes, Perez, you always act like you know so much. How come I got to remember all the plays? All you got to do is just hike the ball. Why are you picking on me like that? Wait a minute. Unless if we're going to make this work, we got to quit arguing. And we've got to come together. I was so scared that guy was so big. But then we got together. So we got together in the huddle. Right there. Coach is sitting outside the office just waiting for us to finish. He says, we're going to do this and we're going to give it our all. We're going to fight to the end so that we can win. So we can win. So, instead of having the coach motivate us, we motivated ourselves. And after we motivated ourselves, we came back. And we won the game. We won the game. And the coach came in and he says, what did you say? I said, we came together. He says, see, the thing is, y'all have practiced together, worked together, but y'all didn't know how to play together. You have to learn how to play together. Have you ever seen people try to play a game and they don't like playing as a team? Someone likes to be ball hog. Someone likes to be the superstar. Someone thinks that they make all the money. Remember all this with Johnny Manziel? What happened now? Cut. So I realized that, you know, we have got to work together so that we can make a comeback. In these last days, Jesus is returning. We don't know when, but all the signs that are of the time show that there's an inclination that he could be coming back soon. But if we don't work together and get things done, we'll never, ever, ever be ready for him. We're so caught up with who has the best, who has the better. The reality is we have Christ. And we should be acting like we have Christ with us all the time. So let's just get rid of the spots and the wrinkles and let's make things right for Christ to return. Let's get our comeback on. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9, please. 1 Corinthians 9. We'll begin in verse 24. Read two verses right there. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 25 out of the Message Bible. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally. This is out of the Message Bible. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. And I thank you, God, that we're running the race to win. Now, this is from the Apostle Paul that is writing to the church of Corinth. And I found it very interesting that the Apostle Paul writes about these games. These are the games like the Olympics, if you would, that he was used to and accustomed to going and seeing. So he understood that there was athletes that train hard. There's athletes that run the race, but only one wins. Now, he's saying that you get gold, but it tarnishes. In reality, what they would get was a wreath, a crown. And it was made out of olive branches that was given to them. But everybody wanted to go to these games because it was something that was great to see because these athletes, and if you do a real study on this to have an understanding about it, these athletes would perform oiled down, and they would be in the middle of the arena, and they would perform, but they would perform with nothing on but just bare. Okay? So now, you have all of this that is going on in all these games. And he understood that they work hard. Now, here's this. You could see, like most of the bodybuilders that you see today or most of those fitness instructors that you see, you can see the muscles. So he knew that there was some that were training harder than others. But he understood the one thing. He says, we can all train hard just to win one prize. But in the end, the greater prize that will not tarnish and fade away is not what you're after. And that's what you should be after. And that race in that game that he was calling was the race for grace. You understand? He understood something. Paul understood the word of God so well that he was the one that persecuted the Christians. He was the one that was coming after everybody because he understood the word so much, but he did not understand the relationship of Christ. And it wasn't until when Paul had that Damascus Road encounter that he was blinded, right? He was blinded, and then he has a vision of Christ coming to him saying, why are you persecuting me? He says, well, who are you? The very one that you're persecuting. He blinded him. But then he takes him, he gives him his eyesight back, and then what does he do? He begins to reveal to him his grace. See, we can know the word left and right. Quote it backwards, frontwards, upside down. But unless you understand the grace of God that is there for you in his relationship, you will never have the understanding that that grace is for you to win. You see, it's one thing to always win at your own, with your own will, your own strength, and everything that you have. I have seen many people be successful in things that they do, and they don't even know God. People say, well, you know, how come God has blessed them? There's some people that have a know-how to make money or know-how to prosper, and that's how they do it. That doesn't mean that it's God. Now, I do see that now we get Christians today that they want to do so much, they just don't know what to do. So they want to put their hand in everything, saying that God told them they could do it. And then we see that they're not succeeding in anything yet. See, Paul understood that something was different, that he had to obtain the grace. He had to obtain the relationship so that he can experience things differently. He was going to run that race to the very end. Now, the Apostle Paul, he knew some things. Isn't it something how God can change you from Saul to Paul with an encounter? Tells you you were once Saul, but now you'll become Paul. You were the one killing the Christians. You were the one coming and persecuting them. But now I'm going to make you the one that is going to be Paul, that is going to change some things and make people see about my love, my mercy, and my grace. You understand? When we come into that relationship with Christ, he begins to change some things. In other words, he's coming from behind. The greatest comeback. Because he was going down a road and doing things his way, the only way he knew how to do it. But then once he had an encounter, God said, I'm going to change your plans. I'm going to do a 180 turn on you, and I'm going to change your character. I'm going to change your ways, and I'm going to make you see differently than the way you were seeing before. Isn't that a blessing? What about you? But I don't want to continue on down the road and see that what I've been doing was wrong all along. At least somewhere then I want to say, God, I think I made some right decisions to find you. Right? I want to make the right decisions, God, that, you know, I'm going to pursue you. Now, with the Apostle Paul, you could count on him to do great things. I like the Apostle Paul because the Apostle Paul, everywhere he went, things changed. Atmosphere changes. He got put in prison with Silas. What did Paul and Silas do when they were in prison? They start praising. And what happened? The foundations of the earth shook. The jail cell door opened up. Change took place. It wasn't just for them. It was also for the guard and for those that were with him. Right? Change happened because Paul had an understanding of the grace that God had on his life. So everywhere that he went, okay, now he gets on a ship and it's getting ready to be broken up and they're going to perish. But then because you stay next to Paul and you stay on with even little parts of the ship, they make it to the island. They get rescued, right? They didn't die. Not one of them died. And he gets over there to the island and they start warming up and they start drying off. He gets bit by a snake, the viper. Now, all these things happen to Paul and you would wonder, why did Paul go through so much stuff? Even though God has already touched him, transformed him, changed his ways, and he's going through so much stuff. Have you ever wondered how come you go through so much stuff? When it just doesn't end. Well, maybe he's just preparing you for the greatest comeback ever. The greatest comeback. Maybe your first quarter wasn't the best. Maybe your second quarter, the halftime wasn't your best. But on the end is going to be the best ever comeback. How many of you remember Joe Montana? Joe Montana, 49ers. He had 35-plus comeback, fourth-quarter comebacks to win the game. 35-plus. So that's someone you can count on. But do you know that Joe Montana was not the fastest or the strongest arm? He just knew how to read defense. Oh, come on now, come on. He knew how to read what was coming his way. And I want you to look at that and say, you know, I know that the enemy's trying to come at me one way. How am I going to make some changes so that this way I can overcome? See, what happens is a lot of quarterbacks should just keep running the same plays and not realizing how to read the defense. Joe Montana knew how to do that. He knew how to read the defense. He knew how to make changes. And he knew how to win fourth quarter comebacks. He went to four Super Bowls. And four Super Bowls, he won. I said, Joe Montana's bad, man. How many of you, if you had that opportunity, I want Joe. I want Joe on my side. Right? Come on. Because you know, if the game called for someone to be there, you want Joe on your side. I started reading about that. I said, Lord, I want someone like that on my side. He says, well, you have me. I'm your quarterback. I'm your coach. I'm your lineman. And I'm your receiver. And when he said, I'm your receiver, I said, wait a minute, I'm not throwing anything at you. So anyway, you got to understand something. We have to work together in all areas. I'm going to be on the sideline with you to encourage you, even though you may not be in the game right now. I'm going to prep you, get you ready for you to get in the game. And then when I call on you, I'm going to coach you all the way through, and I'm going to tell you what plays to run. I'm going to tell you, look, I want you to see something. Something's coming. But I want you to understand you can overcome it. And then I'm going to be your lineman, and I'm the one that's going to go out there and fight against some of these oppressive things that are coming your way that you don't know yet, but I'm going to be the one that's blocking for you. I'm the one that's going to make a hole for you when you can't make it past these linemen. I will make a way for you to get there. And then there's going to be some times that you're going to have to throw up some prayers, and I'll receive them. I'll receive them. Because you're mine. And I'm watching out for you. See, I know everything you're going to go through. And I know everything that's going to come your way. But I can't let you think that you can do it all by yourself. There's going to be some times that you may be kind of beaten up a little bit. A little sore. At that point, I want to quit. I want to give up. He says, no. I've got to encourage you and tell you, you're going to come back and come back stronger. You're going to come back and come back even greater. See, your best days are still ahead of you. Your blessed days are still before you. You cannot look at things saying that I am not going to overcome because he's made you an overcomer. He's caused you to win. And he causes his people to stand and fight to the very end and not to quit halfway through. You've got to understand that what he's put inside of you is the grace of God to overcome every adversity. Whether it be the fourth quarter and time is running out, he says, I'm with you and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will not stop fighting for you. with you to get you to the other side. You see, you've got to understand that God has called you to greatness. He didn't call you to be mediocre. He didn't call you to be lukewarm. He called you to be on fire for God. Why? For the purpose of God and the plan of God. But the enemy's been trying to stop you. He's been trying to block you from getting to the goal line. It's not over until he says it's over. And when it's over, even then, your crown of glory will never tarnish. He will give you a crown of victory and of splendor. You have got to work hard. You've got to sacrifice. You've got to claw your way to victory. He's not just going to give it to you. He has to train you up. Why does he have to train you up? Because some battles, you're going to feel like you're losing. Some battles, you're going to feel like, I can't beat this one. This one's too strong. These opponents are too big. Reminds me of David. They were standing there against the Philistines. And the little boy comes to bring cheese and bread to the battle. But ain't nobody fighting. And he gets at the front. He says, who are these uncircumcised Philistines that taunt the people of God? He says, I may not be what you think I am, but I don't come in my own name or my own power. I come in the name of the Lord and the armies of the Most High God. I stand before. You will not come against my God. You will not come against my people. I will stand in the midst of adversity, and I will face every giant, and I'll use what's inside of me to overcome. See, if we never dig deep down inside of us, we'll never know the potential that we have. God, you got to get me through this. You got to get me through this. He says, you can do this yourself. I'm here with you, but I got to show you there's so much more inside of you. So much more. You're going to think like you can't make it to the end. You're going to think like it's not going to end. And you're going to lose. He says, but I'm going to draw deep from inside of you. And I'm going to pull, and I'm going to pull, and I'm going to pull. And you're going to see that victory has been inside of you all along. Victory has. But you wouldn't know it unless you face adversity. So I was talking about David. David fights the Philistines. He fights Goliath, and he continues to be a great warrior. But then I was reminded of a great story of Samson. Remember Samson? Samson in the Bible was so strong. Victories. Victory. He was so strong that the Philistines would even have to call him out so that he could do great exploits. They would put him in the middle of the arena so he could show his strength. But Samson had a weakness. He had a weakness. He fell for Delilah. And Delilah found out his weakness was his hair. Cut off his hair. And he lost his strength. Here, don't miss this. Don't miss this. See, what the enemy may cut off in a season in your life, there's a comeback. There's a comeback because it's coming back. And when it comes back, it comes back stronger. You may have lost some things in the first quarter, the first half. You may have lost a couple of things in everything you were working hard to get. And you may have felt like things have gotten cut off. But see, Samson understood something. Once all that took place and they took his hair, they also took his eyes. See, we hear about Saul losing his eyesight, changing his name. Then we read about Samson where he loses his hair and his eyes, but then gets restored in the end because he was called to do away with all of the Philistines, to do away with them all. So when his hair grew back, his eyes, they plucked them out. So he had to have somebody there to guide him. So then they were calling him, bring Samson, bring him to the arena. And Samson reach back, and he says, it's here. Oh, what I once lost has come back. What I once lost has come back. So he tells his helper, can you just take me to the post, the column, the support, the arena, so that I can regain my strength and just get some rest? So they take him to these columns, and these are the columns that are holding up the main arena. And then he cries out to God. He says, God, give me the strength once again. Just one more time. Just one more time. And then I'll do what I'm supposed to do if you give it to me one more time. I cannot see, God. I have to rely on someone guiding me, which is your grace, your Holy Spirit. I don't know how to get to where I'm supposed to be, but there's someone that is guiding me, which is the Holy Spirit, that will lead me to that perfect place. Give me strength, oh God, one more time, and I will fulfill the very thing you've called me to do. You just got to give it to me one more time. So he gets to those columns, and as he stands there, he's getting rest, but all of a sudden he feels his strength come back. He begins to push with his right, and he pushes the other with his left, and he begins to shake the foundation of that arena, and that everybody that was in that arena, including himself, the main sacrifice, he killed all of them, including himself. Woo! See, when things come back to you, when things come back to you, it's for God's purpose to be fulfilled. You would say, oh, but he wasn't supposed to die. When you fulfill your purpose here on earth, your destiny is fulfilled. Daddy calls you home. And when he calls you home, there's nothing you can do. Just say, I don't want to go. When purpose and destiny is fulfilled, Samson knew it. I am to take them all out. I made a mistake. I should have never revealed what God has called me to do. But because it came back, the comeback, he took them all out. See, Jesus came on this earth for God's purpose and his glory. And he began to tell what his purpose is. And when he began to tell that you can tear down this temple, but in 3 days, it will be built again. And they were looking at the earthly realm. But see, Jesus began to tell of his purpose and his destiny. I must get to Calvary. I must get to the cross. I cannot negate my purpose or my plan. I've got to do what I've got to do. And as I do it, you will see that the enemy can't take me out. I sacrifice myself. I give my life. You can't take it, but I give it. I lay it down. They try to stop him. They try to kill him. And every time they try to push him off the edge. Remember the story? Jesus was at the edge. They were trying to push him off the mountain. And he just slid right on through. Many times they were trying to plot against Jesus to kill him prematurely. Said, I got a plan here on earth. And my plan is to bring grace and mercy to the people of God. See, the greatest comeback was not him going to the cross. The greatest comeback is when he got up out the grave. When he got up out the grave, he said, now I give you the keys. I give you the keys to hell, death, and the grave. Why? Because the greatest comeback is now. He's giving you everything that you have lost before you even knew you had it. And then when you came into the kingdom of God, God is saying, I'm giving you everything to turn things around. Your best days are still ahead of you. Your blessed days are right before you. Everything in your past is something you can draw on and say, I'm fighting to the end. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not what I used to be called. I am someone God sees in me that I'm victorious. I'm an overcomer. It is the greatest comeback of history that you will see. Because because God's about to do something in your life that you have never seen happen in your life before. I'm going to make change. Change. You're not going to be the same individual. You're not going to be the same person. You're not going to suffer the same pain. You're going to see that I'm turning things around for you. Your finances may have been a little funny. You may have lost some things. You may have lost a house, a car. You may have lost a loved one. But God is going to turn some things around for you. Because He's fighting for you. He is fighting for you. He's giving you strength to overcome. And you will continue this fight to the very end. The game is not over. It's not over. You got to get off the sideline when He calls you to get into the game. And when He says, get into the game, I got your daughter, I got your son, I got your grandbabies. Don't you worry, but I need you to do something now. I need you to get in the game. There's a people that need to understand the grace that I have for them. There's a people that need to have what you got. Get in the game. Don't sit there on the sideline when I called your number to get in. Get in the game. Get in the game. When you get in the game, you fight to the very end. You're not fighting to win the game for you. You're fighting for the ones that are following after you. Get in the game. Get in the game. When He calls your number, you get in the game. And you believe to the very end. It'll take a miracle. But that miracle is waiting. But if you don't get in the game, you'll never experience your miracle. You got to get in the game. You got to get right in that place. He says, I've called you now to work with my grace and my mercy. There's a people that need to have someone that can say, God has your back. And you can do it. You're not alone. Send up a prayer and He'll receive it. If you're facing adversity, He's going to block for you. He may call an audible and make some changes in the end. It will make you think, I'm going the wrong direction. But He's going to call a reverse. He'll change the direction in which you're going. And you'll see that God will give you victory. When you think your time is running out, how will this happen? Don't forget that He even held the sun for Joshua to give him victory in the valley. That Joshua looked up, yep, I could have just more time. So God held the sun for Joshua so he could fight and win in the valley. Your valley experiences are about to be the greatest miracle experiences in your life. What you have fought through, what you have been through, what you've labored through is going to show you the greatest victory is while you were in the trenches, while you were in the valley, when everything felt like you weren't going to have success, you weren't going to have victory. That is where the miracle will be displayed. And you will see, I've called you to greatness. I've called you to be great. Come on, somebody, praise the Lord with me. Praise the Lord. Through every trench and through every valley. You may only have a few mountaintop experiences. God says, I've got you. And you'll see change. You will see change. You may feel like you're going to lose it all. And then then he'll call you and say, come up. Come up. Come up here to me. Come up here to me. Because in the end, I have instructions for you. What you're to do, where you're to be, and a people to encourage. When their hearts are broken and their spirits are crushed, you'll give the grace that was extended to you. And they'll be encouraged because you have an understanding of who he is, because he's done it for you. Extend that grace and love to them and watch as you see as people will turn around like never before. That life will be restored to them once again. But once hope has been diminished, hope will be restored. You see, the greatest miracle of all is touching someone's life with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is Christ and Christ alone that will make a change in someone's life. It's not just knowing the word, but having relationship with him. I encourage you right now. Someone in here who says, I want to just know God more, stand to your feet. If you want to experience God in a whole new way, now is your time. Now is your time. With every eye closed, every head bowed. You stand right now, you're standing saying, God, I want more of you. I want an understanding of your grace like never before. I am your servant. I am willing. Send me. This will be my year of the greatest comeback ever. What I have lost shall be restored. What has been taken away will be brought back to me seven times greater. That even when my hope was deferred and made my heart sick and weary, you shall restore my hope, God. Now, Father, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I release this word in this atmosphere right now, Father. I thank you, God, that right now as they stand before you, they stand boldly before the throne of grace right now to obtain mercy and grace. Father, I thank you that not only increase, Father God, increase them in the knowledge of you, in the relationship, but Lord, encourage them to fight to the very end. Father, I pray right now from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, God, hope restored and victory in their life, in Jesus' mighty name. All of God's children said amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I encourage you, beloved. I encourage you that what God is doing right now in these last days is bringing deliverance to the body of Christ. Deliverance. We've got to go through that deliverance and we've got to willingly give it to him so that he can make that change in our life. Amen. There will be greater deliverances taking place throughout the land. You'll begin to see so much more. It'll be written about. It'll be televised. You will see it. The reason for it is because he desires to see his people set free. Set free. Now, without it getting all twisted, thinking, well, I'm not a sinner. The moment you think that, you are. See, we all fall short of the glory of God. And we are not sinners that sin habitually. Do we miss the mark? Yes. But his grace and his mercy is there to restore us back. Amen. But we first have to confess it with our mouth. And that confession is agreement that, yes, God, I missed it. Get me back on track. And that's what the gospel does. It's the good news. It's not the law being thrown at you to show you how much you need Jesus. It's Jesus saying, I've already did it for you. Just accept and receive. That's it. And we can go through and start listing every kind of sin, but what good would that do?
Really, what good would that do? How about listing the very grace that he's given us? That we're to have life and have it more abundantly. And that we're to continually be in his fellowship. That's what he wants. There's so many people out there just trying to make us feel like we're never going to obtain what he has for us. That's a lie. God's yes for your life, nobody can stop. Nobody can. So I want to encourage you today, whatever you've been through, whatever you've gone through, or whatever you're in right now, he's got your back. He's got you, and he'll bring you to the fullness of it. It's just your time to receive. Amen? And you have every right to receive it. Every right. Amen? Hallelujah. If I could ask you, all of you, to stand to your feet. We didn't do this before. You can go ahead and end the recording, sir. Thank you. Don't stop.